Sunday, March 22nd, fifth Sunday of Lent. The first reading from Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 12 through 14. Thus says the Lord God, O my people, I will open your graves and have you rise from them, and bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you shall know that I am the Lord, when I open your graves and have you rise from them, O my people. I will put my spirit in you that you may live, and I will settle you upon your land. Thus you shall know that I am the Lord. I have promised, and I will do it, says the Lord. The second reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Romans, chapter 8, verses 8 through 11. Brothers and sisters, those who are in the flesh cannot please God, but you are not in the flesh. On the contrary, you are in the Spirit, if only the Spirit of God dwells in you. Whoever does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. But if Christ is in you, although the body is dead because of sin, the Spirit is alive because of righteousness. If the Spirit of the one who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the one who raised Christ from the dead will give life to your mortal bodies also, through his Spirit dwelling in you. Haydock Commentary. Those who live according to the flesh, that is, who live according to the false, vain, and deceitful maxims and customs of carnal men, which he also calls the prudence of the flesh, and this prudence he calls death, as leading men to eternal death. Such carnal men relish nothing else but pleasures. But they who live according to the Spirit mind the things which are of the Spirit, they fix their hearts on the things that belong to God and his service. And this wisdom of the Spirit in which they experience much greater pleasure leads them to eternal life and to eternal peace in the enjoyment of God. The false wisdom of the flesh is an enemy of God, cannot be subject to the law of God, because the maxims of the flesh and of the world are so opposite to those of the gospel and to the doctrine of Christ. They who are subject to the flesh by having their affections fixed on the things of the flesh, whilst they are such, cannot please God, for this prudence of the flesh makes them the enemies of God. If Christ or the Spirit of Christ, which he also calls the Spirit of God, as being one and the same, dwell in you and direct you, the body indeed is dead because of sin, that is, mortal and liable to death, the consequence of Adam's sin. But the spirit and the soul liveth by the life of grace, by reason of justification, that is, because she hath been justified and sanctified by the merits of Christ. And the Spirit of God who raised Jesus to life will also raise all who remain sanctified by the grace of Christ to a happy resurrection. The Gospel from John chapter 11, verses 1 through 45. At that time, a certain man was sick, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Now it was Mary who anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet dry with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. The sisters therefore sent to him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. But when Jesus heard this, he said to them, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that through it the Son of God may be glorified. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister Mary and Lazarus, so when he heard that he was sick, he remained two more days in the same place. Then afterwards he said to his disciples, Let us go again into Judea. The disciples said to him, Rabbi, just now the Jews were seeking to stone you, and do you go there again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If a man walks in the day, he does not stumble, because he sees the light of this world. But if he walks in the night, he stumbles, because the light is not in him. These things he spoke, and after this he said to them, Lazarus our friend sleeps, but I go that I may wake him from sleep. His disciples therefore said, Lord, if he sleeps, he will be safe. Now Jesus had spoken of his death, but they thought he was speaking of the repose of sleep. So then Jesus said to them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I rejoice on your account that I was not there, that you may believe. But let us go to him. Thomas, who is called the twin, said therefore to his fellow disciples, Let us also go, that we may die with him. Jesus therefore came and found him already 4 days in the tomb. Now Bethany was close to Jerusalem, some 15 stadia distant, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them on account of their brother. When therefore Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went to meet him, but Mary remained at home. Martha therefore said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that whatever you shall ask of God, God will give to you. Jesus said to her, Your brother shall rise. Martha said to him, I know that he will rise at the resurrection on the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even if he die, shall live, and whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. Do you believe this?" She said to him, "Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who have come into the world." And when she had said this, she went away and quietly called Mary her sister, saying, "The Master is here and calls you." As soon as she heard this, she rose quickly and came to him, for Jesus had not yet come into the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. When therefore the Jews who were with her in the house and were comforting her saw Mary rise up quickly and go out, they followed her, saying, "She is going to the tomb to weep there." When therefore Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said to him, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." When therefore Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come with her weeping, he groaned in spirit and was troubled and said, "Where have you laid him?" They said to him, "Lord, come and see." And Jesus wept. The Jews therefore said, "See how he loved him." But some of them said, "Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind have caused that this man should not die?" Jesus therefore, again groaning in himself, came to the tomb. Now it was a cave, and a stone was laid against it. Jesus said, "Take away the stone." Martha, the sister of him who was dead, said to him, "Lord, by this time he is already decayed, for he is dead 4 days." Jesus said to her, "Have I not told you that if you believe, you shall behold the glory of God?" They therefore removed the stone. And Jesus, raising his eyes, said, "Father, I give you thanks that you have heard me. Yet I know that you always hear me. But because of the people who stand round, I spoke, that they may believe that you have sent me." When he had said this, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." And at once he who had been dead came forth, bound feet and hands with bandages, and his face was tied up with a cloth. Jesus said to them, "Unbind him and let him go." Many, therefore, of the Jews who had come to Mary and had seen what he did believed in him. Haydock Commentary. At the end of the preceding chapter, we are told that Jesus went into the place where John the Baptist was first baptizing. This place, as may be gathered from St. John chapter 1, verse 28, was Bethany, but not the Bethany where the sisters of Lazarus resided. The Bethany where Christ was at this time was beyond the Jordan, and was likewise called Bethabara, whereas the Bethany where Lazarus lay sick was 2 miles to the south of Jerusalem, and formed a part of the suburbs of that city. It is called the town of Martha and Mary because they lived there, in the same manner as Bethsaida is called the city of Peter and Andrew. "This sickness is not unto death, because his death itself was not unto death, but rather to the working of a great miracle, by which men were brought to the true faith, and thus avoided an eternal death." So says St. Augustine. Lazarus indeed died of this sickness, but he did not die as other men, to continue dead, for Jesus raised him again to the glory of God. Are there not 12 hours in the day? Some, by the day in this place, understand the time preceding the Passion of our Savior, and by the night, the time of his Passion. So says Theophylactus. By this he encouraged his disciples, assuring them that the day of his sojournment on earth was not yet over, and therefore that the Jews, with all their malice and hatred, could not hurt him. But when the night, the time of his Passion, comes, then their power over him commenced. "This is your hour," he says to them, "and the power of darkness." It is strange that the disciples could imagine that Christ spoke of an ordinary sleep, and that he would go 2 or 3 days' journey to awake him. Nothing but the fear and concern they were under could make them think this. To men, indeed, he was dead, but to God he slept, for the Almighty as easily raises him from the grave as man can raise the slumberer from his bed. So says St. Augustine. When Christ says, "that you may believe," we must not suppose that he means that they might begin then for the first time to believe, but that their faith, already begun, might be increased. For the faith of the disciples still stood in need of miracles to make it grow more strong and rooted. So says St. Augustine. Thomas said, "Let us also go that we may die with him," that is, with Jesus. This he said, exhorting the other disciples not to fear. "Lord, if thou had been here, my brother would not have died." These words show that the faith of the two sisters was but weak, as if the Son of God was not everywhere, or as if he could not restore him to life when dead and buried. Martha believed in Christ, but not as she ought to have done. She did not yet believe him to be God, but addresses him as one who is remarkable for virtue and approved of by heaven. So says St. John Chrysostom. "I am the resurrection and the life," that is, the author of both. I am the resurrection. I am he who will at the last day raise him up. I can, therefore, if I will, raise him up now. So says St. Augustine. He groaned in spirit. The Latin and Greek, both in this and the 38th verse, express a more than ordinary inward trouble. Christ, as he was truly man, had the affections and passions of human nature, yet so that he was master even of the first motions, which could not raise in him any disturbance or disorderly inclinations. He permitted, therefore, and raised in himself these affections of compassion and grief at this time. Jesus wept. This was a mark of his human nature, when he was going to give them a proof of his divinity in raising the dead. The tears of the disconsolate sisters called forth tears from the tender commiseration of Jesus. Nor was it unworthy the Son of God to shed tears. About to give proofs of his divinity in raising the dead, he is pleased to give first undoubted proofs of his humanity, that he might show himself both God and man. Take away the stone. He could have done this by his word and command, or he could have made Lazarus come out without taking off the stone. He needed not to pray, who could do and command everything. He knew that what he asked, even as man, must needs be granted, but he prayed aloud for our instruction. Christ was about to pray for the resurrection of Lazarus, but his eternal Father anticipated his petition and heard it before he presented it. Therefore does Christ begin his prayer by returning his Almighty Father thanks for having granted his request. So says Origen. He cried out with a loud voice. His will would have been sufficient. He calls upon the dead man, says St. John Chrysostom, as if he had been living, and it is no sooner said than done. Untie him and let him go. Christ, says St. Gregory, by giving these orders to his apostles, shows that it belongs to his ministers to loose and absolve sinners when they are moved to repentance, though it is God himself that forgiveth their sins, and they by his authority only. Lazarus comes forth bound from the sepulchre, that he might not be thought to be a phantom, and that the bystanders might themselves loose him, and touching and approaching him, might know for certain that it was he. So says St. John Chrysostom. St. Cyril and St. Augustine both adduce this verse to show the power of priests in absolving sinners.